T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Times last week in Dallas. They blocked the punt! They blocked the punt of Bjork as it's rolling free.
Pick
on
it up.
The goal line, the 49ers scoop it, and Talanoa Hufanga scored! Touchdown! San Francisco! They blocked the punt!
Jordan Willis is the guy
Willis
that got it.
Willis blocked it. Hufanga picked it up in a scoop and a score, and the 49ers are an extra point away from tying the game.
That was a great call. By the way, that's Greg Papa, brother of the late Gary Papa, calling it out on radio in San Francisco. Went to my high school, as a matter of fact, Ray, in Buffalo, New York. Did Greg and Gary Papa. And that was an amazing play, an amazing highlight of a fascinating game, as last night the San Francisco 49ers shock the world, certainly shock Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, go into Green Bay Lambeau Field and win 13-10 to advance the NFC title game. Good morning, everybody. It is Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley, along with Ray Dinger. I'm Glenn Mack now, going till 12:30 today. Just one quick programming note before we start. We had planned today to do a Tell Us Your Story with the great Earl the Pearl Monroe. We learned yesterday that we're getting off a half hour early, which, I mean, to be honest, we're not thrilled with, but that's the way it works. They're putting on a network show, so we didn't want to rush it all in, so we're going to hold Earl the Pearl for next week. How are you, Ray? How was your walk over?
Oh, it was just fine.
Good. A little chilly out there.
I did like that radio call.
It was great. It was great. The play was great. Before I get into that, we got a lot going on today. We are going to talk about yesterday's two NFL playoff games. We're going to talk about how those relate to your Philadelphia Eagles, lessons learned, if there are any to be. Mike Sielski is going to join us. We'll talk about, all nature of local sports with him, and he's got that new book out on Kobe Bryant, which is terrific. I'm reading it myself. We'll talk to him about that. We'll tee up today's games, and Ray, we have a expert analyst joining us late in the show to help us tee up that Buffalo-Kansas City game.
And who might that be?
That would be my dad. My dad, Marv, was on last week, and it was fun for me and it was fun for him, and turns out the audience enjoyed it, at least the feedback I got. So as long as the Bills are going, Marv Macnow will be a weekly part of the show.
Well, I think the Bills are going to be going for a while.
Oh, Ray, love here. That's, you know what? That's a great way for me to start the day.
Okay.
I love hearing that. All right, so let's talk about yesterday's games first. By the way, everybody invited to call 215-592-9494. We'll take a lot of calls today. The Niners win it, as we say, and they win it while in the last two games, this week and last week, scoring two offensive touchdowns. Trivia question for Ray Dinger. Can you name the last team to advance to a conference championship while scoring just two offensive touchdowns in their first two games? Wild card divisional game?
No.
The answer is Peyton Manning and the Colts.
Oh.
Who ended up winning the Super Bowl that year.
Mm-hmm.
Good for the Niners. Amazing defense by D'Amico Ryan's squad. Listen, I loved him when he was with the Eagles. It was brief here.
Yeah.
He may have been the last really good linebacker they had. But boy, he seems like he's a great defensive coordinator, Ray.
First year. I mean, there's always questions when teams change coordinators. Coordinators move around, get other jobs, and then somebody else has to get promoted. You have a unit that was really good, and the question is, okay, well, that coordinator's gone. New coordinator comes in. What is going to be the impact? And sometimes sometimes you find out that the guy's just not up to the task, you know. And I kind of wondered about D'Amico Ryans, although my limited exposure to him, my time around him when he was in Philadelphia, which you said wasn't that long, and it wasn't, but he just struck me as a guy that was really smart, really understood the game, seemed to be able to explain the game, and just had an ability to communicate and connect with people that I thought, you know, okay, I mean, he's a young guy to be handed this kind of responsibility, but I just have a gut feeling he's going to be good at this. And boy, he has been. I mean, 2 weeks in a row, I mean, he shut down two very prolific offenses. I mean, last week Dallas, and then this week Green Bay. And they play really good, solid, well-disciplined football. You don't see anything crazy. You don't see a lot of gimmickry. You don't see a lot of blown assignments. It's just simple. Get to the football and make the tackle. You know, it's good fundamental football, but it seems like he does a very good job of preparing his guys from week to week.
Future NFL head coach?
Oh, I certainly think so.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
I certainly think so. I mean, in his first year as a coordinator, everybody agrees that he has really done a good job with this defense in San Francisco. And, you know, it's a pretty high-profile franchise.
Yeah.
And if he has that kind of success, and if this team moves on to the Super Bowl, yeah, his profile is going to be pretty high.
I would like to see that. Okay. Meanwhile, Packers defense was also great. Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't get anything going all day. But the Packers lose. The game was remarkable because of how much it was about special teams. And the Packers allow a blocked field goal, costing them 3 points right at the end of the first half. And then the block punt that we just played, which, by the way, you could put a stopwatch on that thing. I think it was up in the air for like a minute and a half.
It was very funny.
And nobody could see it. You see everybody turning around. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? It lands right there toward the right sideline. Guy scoops it up, runs those last 5 yards. So that's the play that allows San Francisco to basically, well, keeps them in the game, allows them to stay in the game late in the fourth quarter. And then in the last, I didn't know this until this morning, the last play of the game, Robbie Gould's field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Packers only had 10 guys on the field? Coming out of a timeout.
Right. That just shows how bad they are. And, you know, also lost, they get a field goal attempt blocked in the first half.
Yeah.
Then they give up, to start the second half, they give up a 45-yard kickoff return that gets the other team jump started.
To Debo Samuel, like, why are you kicking to him?
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, but see, you know, I'm going to tell you something, Glenn, and people are going to think I'm making this up, but when they were lining up for that punt, I think they're going to block this. Because I had seen Green Bay special teams all year.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen them all year, and they were terrible in every phase of special teams. So bad that it just amazed me that there was no change during the course of the season. But in this spot, when all you need is a punt, all you need is a normal punt that gets to the other side of midfield, and you probably win the game. But they had been so bad on special teams all year. I'm looking at this guy standing in the end zone, 10-3 game, the end. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, they're going to block this punt. And sure enough,
they only rushed five.
Yeah.
It's not like they went all out in attempt to block it. They rushed five. The guy comes right up the middle.
Well, it's obvious that they've seen, and if you watched any film, you saw this, that they're a long snapper. He's a good long snapper, but he can't block. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can be overpowered by a rusher if you target him. If you just say, let's blow up the middle and get him. You could have done that pretty much any week during the course of the season. And in that spot, obviously, they're going to go for it. And they got it, and it turns out to be the play that wins the game for them.
Ray, does the name Maurice Drayton mean anything to you?
I'm guessing he may be the Green Bay Packers special teams coach.
Or as we speak, he may be the former. If I'm him, I'm calling my real estate agent and saying, we might want to put my house on the market.
Yeah,
today.
No, I think he's taking the pictures down off the wall in the office right about now.
By the way, Robbie Gould, who kicks that winning field goal,
mm-hmm.
is 20-for-20 on field goals in his playoff career.
Yeah.
After that. And kicking, we'll get to the Cincinnati game in a moment, but kicking was huge in both games. That rookie Cincinnati kicker was great.
He's terrific.
Yeah. Okay. So the other big angle of the story, of course, is what it means for Aaron Rodgers, whether it's his last game ever as a Green Bay Packer. The Packers spent the entire year
winning games working to get home field advantage, right? Lambeau Field. And it turns out that this it meant nothing, right? Low scoring, bad weather, that's gonna mean something for them. Gave them no advantage, and Rodgers is just above 500 in his career in playoff games at Lambeau.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I always figured he'd be like 12-2.
Mm-hmm.
No. And it may be, do you think it's his last game as quarterback of the Green Bay Packers?
I think not. I don't think he's done. I don't think he wants to walk away with this as his final game. If he had won the Super Bowl this year, I think it may have been. But a great player like Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to leave the stage with a game like that. So I think he's going to continue playing. And to me, it just seems, where else is he going to go? I guess, you know, if he's looking at Tom Brady, he's saying, yeah, with Tom Brady, look at what, you know, nobody thought he'd leave New England, but mm-hmm. he goes to Tampa and wins another Super Bowl, maybe. I don't know. If I were to guess right now, like some people are suggesting that was his last game. I don't think that.
Let me just give you his quote after the game, okay? He talked to Adam Schefter after the game, and Schefter asked him essentially, you know, do you think you're going to stay there? He said, I did not think we'd be talking about this after this game.
Right.
He thought they'd keep going. I'm going to take some time and have conversations with the folks around here and then take some time away and make a decision, obviously, before free agency. So it's a non-answer answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Can we just put out of any suggestion that he would be a Philadelphia Eagle in the future?
I certainly don't see it.
No. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't want it.
Right.
I mean, do you have any interest in it?
Well, you wouldn't have to trade for him. It wouldn't be, you know, it would not be a Russell Wilson thing where you'd have to give up 3 first-round draft picks to get him. If he's a free agent, he's a free agent. So then all you have to do is just give all the money in the world to him.
Yeah, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't like him anymore, which is, I don't mean to make it personal, but like, and he's 38 years old. It's like, this is a young franchise. They're not going to be in the Super Bowl next year, the Eagles.
No.
Right, so what do I want to start all over with a 38-year-old incendiary quarterback? Like that's not the way to go.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to take the entire draft and trade it all away. That's what you'd have to do to get Russell Wilson. I mean, I want to use this draft to rebuild the other areas of the team that need rebuilding, especially particularly the defense. Rodgers as a free agent is a different proposition. You can have the draft and you can have your cake and eat it too. You can have the draft and then sign him as a free agent and just be, I just don't know if you have the cap room or the financial wherewithal to make that happen.
Yeah. All right. I don't want it to happen. If you do, I still don't want it to happen. It's mm-hmm. not the direction to go. Not for this team. Listen, you can probably do better. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't think Jalen Hurts right now, I don't project him to be a great quarterback. And there are some young, great quarterbacks in the league. One of the things you see when you watch these playoff games, you know, how good Josh Allen is, how good Mahomes is, how good Joe Burrow is. I don't think ever in anybody's dream that Jalen Hurts is going to be that.
No.
Right.
He does not project to be any of those guys.
Right. And you probably need a guy like that if you really want to win the Super Bowl. And I don't think Jalen Hurts is that guy. On the other hand, I don't see that guy currently available. I don't, you know, you've told me, and I trust your judgment, that guy's not in the draft.
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. I don't think it's Russell Wilson anymore.
No.
I certainly don't think it's Aaron Rodgers anymore. So I'll ride with Jalen Hurts until that opportunity presents itself. Mm-hmm. Because trying to get a guy who's one step better than Jalen Hurts, two steps better than Jalen Hurts, to me, if I have to invest a lot, it's not worth it.
Yeah, Rodgers, you know, Rodgers is one I would have to think about because...
Really? At his age and all of that, huh?
Well, you saw him play this year. I mean, this might have been his best season. He's going to be the MVP.
Yeah, not yesterday.
No, but I mean, it's one game. But I mean, over the course of the season, he was really brilliant. I don't know. I mean, I think it's highly, highly unlikely. But I would pursue that option before I would trade my entire draft to get Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I wouldn't do either. I just feel like Rodgers is not – it's not the fit. Not for this team, not at this time. It's not – again, he's not going to put him in the Super Bowl. So there were a lot of people, and I know it's right. You know, everybody sees things in the light of the moment. That's like, oh, this is a legacy game for Rodgers. You know, they've been to one Super Bowl in 17 years with him. It's, you know, everybody talks how great he was, and he was in the regular season. But, boy, he stunk last night, and boy, he did. Had an awful second. They had 48 yards in the second half.
Yeah.
How about that? Okay, let's work in the other game a little bit because that was an entertaining game too. Both games, big time defense, a lot of inept offense. If you're a betting person, both games clearly went into the under, and both number one seeds lost. Ray,
both number ones go down.
First time since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? What lesson do you take out of the early game, the Cincinnati-Tennessee game?
Joe Burrow's great.
Yeah. Well, that gets back to the point I made a minute ago, right?
Yep. And no surprise, I don't think. I mean, when I saw him play at LSU, I just had that feeling that this kid is special. He just was. And I know it was a great team at LSU. I mean, that was a really, really great team. It's one of the best college football teams I've ever seen. And they have a national championship to show for it. But I really liked everything I saw in Joe Burrow. His passing ability was excellent. He had great receivers, obviously.
Not a line.
No.
Man, he got sacked 9 times.
Right.
Do you know the last time a quarterback got sacked 9 times and won in the playoffs? You know the game very well.
I saw the graphic that came up and said it was McNabb.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's how I knew it. They put up the graphic. Yeah, 4th and 26.
Right.
The Green Bay game.
Yeah. Right.
9 times he got sacked. Which doesn't speak well for whether they play Buffalo or Kansas City next week.
No, and that was, you know, when you and I were breaking down that game yesterday, my take on it was, I said, listen, I think that Cincinnati has the better skill position players. I think they have the playmakers, and they sure do, with, you know, with Mixon and Higgins and
Chase.
Chase
was great.
And Boyd, and, you know, they had great skill position players. I said, I just don't think that their offensive line can hold up against this Tennessee team that can really get great pressure with just 4 guys. Well, it turned out that that was true. I mean, the offensive line was completely overmatched trying to block Tennessee. And Joe Burrow just played through it. I mean, never got frustrated, never got intimidated, never got discouraged. I mean, he got knocked down. He would just get up, go back to the huddle, call the next play.
Yeah, really tough.
Really, really tough. And, you know, and just never lost his focus. And that was one of the things I saw at LSU. I mean, there were certain games in that conference where – there was no question in my mind that teams were trying to take him out of games. I mean, teams were hitting him every chance they could get. And it never fazed him. I mean, I saw him take some big hits. He just got up, fixed his shoulder pads, went back to the huddle, and didn't even blink. One of the reasons I really liked him. And you saw that quality yesterday. The only problem is, and we saw this even in his rookie year, when they came into Philadelphia and played the Eagles. The Eagles had him on the ground all day, too. And I remember saying on the postgame show, This kid has a chance to be an all-time great quarterback. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bengals are going to ruin him unless they get an offensive line in front of him. You know, I don't want to see him be one of these great young quarterbacks that
gets beat up
by year 3, by year 4 that he's beat up.
Yeah.
And they're still at that point. They've got the skill position guys around him to complement him, but they have to protect him better. I mean, he took 51 sacks this year.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, they have to shore up the offensive line. But, boy, they have players on that offense. Man,
they sure do.
Woo,
they're really fun to watch. I mean, they're fun to watch. Both games yesterday were so entertaining. May I just slip into a moment of immaturity here?
Go right ahead.
Okay. By winning yesterday in the playoffs, Joe Burrow has now passed Dak Prescott and tied Tony Romo in career playoff wins.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And the Cincinnati Bengals ended their conference championship drought before the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
How about that?
How about that?
That was their first ever postseason win on the road.
Ever?
First ever. First
wow.
ever
Well,
postseason.
I know they lost the 2 Super Bowls they were in.
Both
against the Niners with a potential rematch.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they hadn't. They were bucking a lot of history here. They got to this postseason. They had not won a postseason game anywhere in 30 years. Well, they did that last week by winning at home.
Yeah.
But this week, they go down to take on the number one seed with a history of never having won a postseason game on the road ever, and they overturned that too. I'll give you one stat in this game, which I thought was really interesting. They knew with the pressure that Burrow was under, that they couldn't, they didn't want him holding the ball. They didn't want to run long routes because they couldn't. The ball had to come out of his hand quick. Well, he finishes the game with 348 passing yards.
Yeah.
242 of them were yak yards.
Yeah.
They had 242 yards after catch.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
There's Ja'Marr Chase, yeah.
Yeah, so all the ball's coming out quick. Wow. He's getting the ball to Chase. And with all of those receivers, they all have the ability to do something with the ball once they get it.
Wow.
But 242 yak yards in that game.
Great. All right, 215-592-9494. Let me work in Mike and Yardley before the break. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
All right.
That was a great day of football yesterday. Those games were really entertaining, really fun to watch. And my observation was no offense. There are four offenses. None of them scored 20 points.
Yeah.
And yet, they were great games and entertaining. We saw defense. We saw turnovers, blocked kicks. It was really, really fun. You guys were talking about how good Burrow was, but the thing that I saw in that game yesterday was just how great both sets of receivers were.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown and
Chase.
Jones. And Chase.
Yeah, boy, Julio Jones, when he's healthy.
They were just wonderful.
Yep.
And it made you think, oh, geez, if only Devontae Smith had one of those guys on the other side of the field, what would the Eagles' offense look like?
Yeah.
You know, it really showed you,
you know, it's
how
great,
far
Ray.
Away we are.
It all, the whole conversation comes back to Rager.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it always does, doesn't it?
It's how the games were great and it all comes back to Rager.
Now, it's unfortunate, but, boy, you know, today's games should be really good. The other thing that I hate this seventh seed going in, ruining wild card weekend. We had three clunkers, good games last week, but three clunkers, jeez. You know, and it was unfortunate because, you know, I've always looked forward to this time of year and watching 2 days on the weekend of football and seeing really good football. And I turned off the Eagles game last week at right about halftime. You know, the two Jalens gave up their, ball possession. And
right.
I went, oh, no, and I'm not going to watch the Steelers get mad.
Well, listen, and they did. And I think your point, and thank you, Mike, always nice right to up. Talk to you. The point is well taken, right? They're the seventh team in the wild card does not help the game and the product that we watch, but in a conversation that you and I have had hundreds of times, it's not going to change because they make more money on it.
Right.
And they sell that time now to ESPN, gets its playoff game, and they also, it's on Nickelodeon and it's on Amazon. And I don't know if it's on Amazon, but you know what I'm saying? It's on everything. Stream it, get it on, put it on here. And it's more money for the NFL. And guess what the NFL doesn't like to turn away?
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, and that's one of the things. Look, I knew, you and I have talked about this how many times over the years. They're going to keep adding games to the schedule. You know, and it wasn't going to stay at 16 games. They're going to keep adding games, even though I think it's a bad thing. Even though too many guys are getting hurt, the injury factor is so great. You talk about, well, player safety, but oh, let's keep adding games. Well, how do you justify that? And then I said that they're going to expand the playoffs, too. Even though the previous system worked, I thought, perfectly well with 12, they're going to keep adding teams, and they're probably not done at 14. They'll probably keep adding more and more and more until the playoffs look like the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe the NHL.
Yeah, and it's all about making the money, but you don't have a commissioner there who's in a position where he'll ever ask the question, but what's in the best interest of the game?
I got a quick question. We got to hit the break. Do you like any of the current commissioners?
No.
Okay. I won't argue with you. You know, I'm with you. 215, but they're not there for us.
No, but I think that's one of the big – we all agree that the whole sports landscape is screwed up right now, and I think part of the problem is none of the commissioners are capable of making it better.
Yeah. 215-592-9494.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Glenn McNeil, Ray Didger. All right, Ray, before we go back to the phones, I got a personal trivia question for you.
Okay.
Where were you and I 6 years ago on this very day? January 23rd, 2016. Because we were together.
We were, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, we're obviously doing the show. Were we at Zally's Supermarket in Williamstown, New Jersey?
We were not.
Oh, okay.
So here's where we were.
I miss that place.
Yeah, it was fun. We enjoyed doing shows there. I still have pictures of us in the dog masks doing shows in front of the bread aisle.
In front of the bread aisle, yeah.
It was good. It was a fun place. Anyway, no. Here's where we were. We were downtown because it was the huge, huge snowstorm. And so they had us stay in hotels downtown.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Remember that? I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Ike was staying downtown. And so here, I probably have told you this. It's one of the times that I admired you most. First of all, and I can tell these stories about management because it's all the previous management. So if I rip management here, none of these people work here anymore. You and I have been around the block, and we've done work, and we both traveled a lot when we did newspapers. And,
sure.
You know, you stay in hotels, and usually it's a pretty nice hotel, and you get a decent room, and you're working. So
right.
you get that. They call me up, and they say, yeah, well, you know, we think you should stay downtown because, you know, the weather's going to be like, you and Ray are going to share a room.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what are you taught? What am I, in junior high school?
Right.
What is this? The JV the soccer team is traveling. We all got to sleep two to a room. I'm not sharing. I love Ray, but I'm not sharing a room.
Right.
They said, no, that's what we're having everybody do. And I said, well, I'm not doing that.
Right.
If you want me to do the show, I want my own room or I'm just not doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then it turns out, I'm thinking like, I wonder how this will go over when they call Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you didn't even bother to hear him. You reserved your own room in a nicer hotel and sent them the bill.
Right.
Which was great. You like preempted any of the conversation. You just found like the nicest close hotel, built yourself a room on the top floor. Room service, please. Please send the bill to WIP.
Right.
Okay. So the other great part of that story was the other guys, in fact, did end up sleeping two to a room.
Yes.
And I remember we went out to dinner at a restaurant right downtown, remember?
Yeah.
I think Sue Schilling was with us because, right, didn't Sue was one of the people who ended up staying downtown. And we walked back to the hotel, and you remember what was going on?
Well, I remember, it was Paul Jolovitz and Joe Giglio were sharing a room.
Joe Giglio's in the lobby.
Right.
Trying to sleep on a couch in the lobby. I said, Joe, why are you sleeping in the lobby? And he said, no, this was the next morning. This is when I got up for the show the next morning.
Right.
I blew my own story. I get up because you and I are doing the show. And so I figured, you know, we got to walk to the studio. This is when we were still downtown, obviously. And so I get up at like 7:30. It's like, and Joe's sleeping on the couch. I said, Joe, why are you sleeping in the lobby? He goes, oh, man, Jolly. Oh, does he snore?
Yes.
But you were my hero because you didn't even, like, I'm arguing with them. They're like, I'm not sleeping two to a room. And you just, like, went the entire other way and just said, like, yeah, I'm just going to just reserve my own room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the two to a room.
Send the bill to the station.
Yeah. Two to a room is no, it's not happening.
No.
No, it's not happening.
No.
I said, you know, come on. I'm 71 years old.
But we've been, we've been around.
Yeah, of course.
We've earned that right, for God's sake.
I'm not doing that.
No.
And so I just went and called up a hotel and booked myself a room, and that was that. I mean, the weather forecast, and it turned out to be a really bad snowstorm.
Oh, yeah.
So
we ate in Todd Harriman's old place downtown. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, I mean, I knew I definitely wanted to stay downtown. I wanted to do the show, but I wasn't going to drive it. So, yeah, I'm going to stay in a hotel, but I'm not going to a room. No, that's ridiculous. No. I can't even believe you're asking me to do this.
Yes, that's what I'm screaming and arguing with them.
Yeah.
And you just, like, did your own thing.
Yeah, it was very easy. Just call a hotel, give me a room, and I did, and that was it. And I said, send them the bill.
It was great. Joe and Clementon, you're on with Ray and Glenn. How are you, Joe? Hello, what? Joe. You there?
I'm here.
There you go.
Ray, the last time I talked to you, you were on the radio with Stan Hockman.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been a while then.
Yes, it has. You get on the thing about the linebackers, not having a linebacker since Jerry Robinson. Mm-hmm. I just think the league doesn't like linebackers anymore because we don't run anymore.
And, Niners do.
I'm just saying, overall, the league doesn't run as much as they used to. I think there's less importance on linebackers anymore. That's why we don't.
Ray, do you agree with that?
Well, defenses now, you're seeing fewer linebackers on the field because teams are going with more nickel and dime defenses.
Right.
But I think that's fallacious. I think that's wrongheaded. I mean, if you look around, when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl last year, everybody wrote crazy. Yeah, you know, everybody praised Tom Brady to the skies, as they should. But if you go back and look at that game, the real difference makers in that game were the two inside linebackers for the Bucs. I mean, they controlled.
Yeah.
David and White controlled that game. And you see the difference that Parsons made this year in Dallas.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the idea that our team's playing fewer linebackers or fewer linebackers on the field than they used to be. Yeah, yes. That's a fair statement. But if you get the right guys, they can be game changers. And the Eagles won't recognize that.
There's only a few of them every year. There's only a few of them every year, and there's always people complaining that we don't draft linebackers because, like I said, you know, the league doesn't run as much anymore.
Yeah, I disagree with your premise, though. There may be fewer linebackers in which teams may be playing two linebackers, but when you have good ones. I think, you watched Fred Warner yesterday. I think they're really important.
I see teams with just two linebackers most of the time. Not most of the time, a lot.
Yeah, but it's not quantity I'm trying to argue. It's quality.
Okay, I got it. I understand that.
Yeah.
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
Is the NFL missing the boat by not putting the Jets and the Giants and the Eagles and the Pittsburgh in the same division?
Oh, you want to realign.
Well, I just think, Pittsburgh is in our state.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
There was talk of this.
That would be more fever pitch, I think. The Jets and the Giants.
Yeah, but are you taking the Cowboys out of our division?
Something's got to suffer, I guess.
Oh. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that because the Eagles, when they first aligned and they put Dallas in the East, it made no sense. I agree with you geographically. It made no sense. But the fact is, Eagles-Dallas has become a really good rivalry. I mean, to the point where 18 years in a row, that has been a nationally televised game. That's one of the high-profile games, regardless of the two teams' records. That's a significant enough rivalry now over time that every year when they put out the NFL schedule, Eagles-Cowboys gets at least one primetime appearance. This year it was two. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of you're looking geography, it doesn't make sense. But in terms of history and football and, you know, football rivalries and that kind of stuff, yeah, you're not going to break up Eagles-Cowboys now.
And football's not the kind of sport where you have to worry about travel costs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Eagles-Dallas is a great rivalry. Bills-Dolphins is a good rivalry. They're not close to each other, right?
Right.
But it means, as you just said, you don't want to break up that history. There's not really an upside to it.
No. No, and it's not going to happen. But, initially when they did it, it was expansion. The Dallas was coming in 1960. No one knew quite where to put them, so they put them in the East. And everybody said, no, Dallas in the East. But over time, it began to make sense, and now there's so much history to it, you'll never break it up.
Dale in Mount Airy, you're on with Ray and Glenn. Hello, Dale.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
All right.
We're good.
Good, man. Ray, man, you are awesome, man. Awesome on the radio, awesome on TV, so I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh, I appreciate that, Dale. Thank you.
And the show is awesome. So I just want to talk about Jalen Hurts. You know, some people like him, some people don't like him. Some people want to get rid of him, some people want to give him a chance this year. I think he's, you know, serviceable. But did the Niners prove last night that with a stellar defense – you could build a good team, you know, with a top, you know, he's not a top 10 quarterback, but he's serviceable. So you guys think that the Eagles should go in that direction, build a defense, you know, put a couple pieces around Hurts and see how far we can go. What do you guys think about that?
Well, that's, you know, we talked a lot about that yesterday. That's how I feel. I'm not in favor of taking this whole draft and trading, right, trading it all away to bring in a Russell Wilson. I want to use this draft to bring in a lot of good young players, bring in some youth, bring in some speed, bring in some physicality, rebuild the areas that need rebuilding, especially the defense, and right, give Russell Hurts and give Jalen Hurts another year to prove what he can be. Because I think, you know, you saw improvement this year. You know, with one more year, you know, maybe he can take another step forward. That's, you know, that's kind of where I am, and I think Glenn kind of agrees.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Okay. All right, I just wanted to make that point. And a great show, and keep doing up the good,
thank
keep
you,
doing
Dale.
Good work.
Thank you, Dale.
Look forward to talking to you again. 215-592-9494, Ray and Glenn. On a Sunday morning, Mike Sielski is going to join us at 11 o'clock. And coming up, Ray, a little bit of a shakeup in the one of the local broadcast teams. We'll talk about that and where that may go. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack. Now, we'll get back to the calls in just a moment, but a little bit of news kind of going under the radar because, you know, baseball doesn't exist anymore. But Kevin Franson, who, you know, did a nice job for the Phils. Had a good chemistry with Fransky, I thought.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good.
But he only got to do half the games because L.A.'s doing the home games, and so he's doing the road games. And, you know, it's not the ideal job. So he is leaving, and he is now going to be the full-time color TV commentator for the Washington Nationals. It's going over the dark side. And good for him. I mean, smart move. I guess what I wanted to ask you is, who do you replace him with? Assuming that baseball ever returns.
Right.
And assuming L.A. wants to keep doing the home games, and I hope he does, because L.A. is the greatest.
Right.
And L.A. and Fransky together are phenomenal.
They're really good.
But L.A., I get it. You don't want to travel, you know, spend half his life on the road. He's got the beautiful young wife, and, you know, he deserves it, so... I got a name.
Oh, okay. Well, my first, if I were the Phillies, my first move would be to call L.A. and say, would you consider going back to full time?
I don't think so.
Right. Which is what that's what I would expect. But I would at least ask. That would be my first call. Say, you know, Kevin's leaving. Would you consider going back to doing all the games?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay. So now next, now I pick up the phone, and your question is, who is my next call to?
Because I got it. If they got the guts.
Well, the first one that I would think of would be Ricky Pitalico.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right.
Correct. That's
right.
The guy.
Yeah.
I don't think they would because we know L.A. can be critical.
Right.
But L.A.'s kind of evolved into that.
Right.
And they're not going to push L.A. out because he's L.A. He's a legend. He's, you know, he's a legacy. He's forever.
Right.
But I think he's more critical than they want him to be.
Oh, sure.
And I think Ricky Bowe would be problematic for them in that way.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Best answer.
He's the guy. And they would have to accept the fact that, you know, Ricky calls it like he sees it. And if they're playing bad, he says they're playing bad. If the bullpen's terrible, he has no trouble saying these guys are a disgrace. You know, I mean, L.A. will come up short of that. I mean, he'll just say, oh, we got some real problems in our bullpen. But, I mean, Ricky Bowe will just say, these guys are an embarrassment, you know. And he's pretty unsparing in his view of it. And I think the Phillies would just say, no, I don't think we want to go
there. Yeah, we don't want that problem. And I'm not saying they need a cheerleader, but, you know, it's... Part of the job is you are employed by that team. You represent that team. So, listen, I love the way, like, Merrill and Mike will be critical when it's time to be critical.
Yes.
But you know that Merrill and Mike, their heart's where your heart is.
Right.
Well, I guess the same would be true for Ricky Bowe. But Ricky can be tough. Yeah.
Ricky can be very tough. But I really like him.
I do, too.
On the post-game show with Michael, I think he's, you know, I mean, he is Mr. Reality Check.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're playing bad, he will absolutely tell you they're playing bad.
So I put this on social media the other day for ideas and answers, and most of the ones that people had just aren't realistic. Like, people say, like, Jimmy Rollins. Well, Jimmy Rollins doesn't want to do that. I think Jimmy enjoys the opportunity to kind of fly in a couple of weekends and do some games on TV, and he's great, but he's not going to – that's not the life for him. My favorite suggestion I got, and I give credit, a guy named Hugh McKillop said, bring Pat Neshek back. I'm just not sure whether he'd be able to call back-to-back games.
That's very good.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Your good friend Pat Neshek.
So there's another former Philly that may have tossed his hat in the ring.
Ooh, Mosh, what do you got?
So Kevin Cooney tweeted, it will be interesting to see who takes Franzen's role. And Shane Victorino retweeted it with a,
Really?
Yes. So well, Shane Victorino, future color commentator?
Shane has a good personality, but I don't know if he, I don't know how he would be calling games. I have no idea.
Exactly. I've never heard him work as a broadcaster, so I don't know what to expect. We have examples of other guys contributing here and there.
Yeah, right. Rollins has done it. Kruk has done it. A lot of those guys have done it.
And that would be a, you know, I feel like he'd put a positive spin on things to balance out the Larry Anderson gruff.
Shane would be all roses and singing birds, right? What do you think, Shane Victorino?
I hadn't thought about that, but sure. I mean, he's very popular.
Threw his hat in the ring. Interesting.
I would not rule out at least approaching J-Roll. I mean, I don't think he would do it, but I would.
He's got a life out in the West Coast.
I know.
I mean, you remember when we had him for Tell Us Your Story, and it's like, what are you up to? I'm up to this and this and this and this and this. And I think he's got an opportunity to do games on MLB Network or ESPN, I forget. But he was doing national games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that 162 games a year, even 81 games a year when it's all travel, that's a grind.
It is.
Oh, by the way.
But I would at least place the phone call.
Before they address that, they got to address getting Scott Fransky under contract.
Yes.
He became a free agent at the end of last year.
I wasn't aware of that till you just told me.
Yeah, and I would say this. Other than Bryce Harper, and I don't want to put in the fanatic because I don't want to make a mascot the center of it, but I can't think of anybody whose departure would upset the fans more than if they let Fransky walk.
He did sign for this upcoming season. He signed a 1 year.
Oh, he did?
It's just for this year.
It just happened
this week.
Oh, okay.
But you're right.
I missed that.
But still, he's not signed long term.
No, 1 year.
So
huh?
Just for this upcoming season so far.
Well, 1 year is good news because I thought that still hadn't worked out. I missed that news.
Oh, it just a day or two after the Franzen news.
Okay. Well, there you go. Let's get Andy in Mount Laurel. You're on with Ray and Glenn.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Andy.
Hey, listen, I wanted to chime in on that a couple callers ago. I would definitely, without a doubt, and Ray and Glenn, you definitely would agree with this. The first three, the first round picks, you got to go defense because, first of all, the offensive line looks still pretty damn good despite that last game they had. You got that left side, which I would never disrupt. Sam Mallo's coming back. I know he's a left guard. He's very serviceable. But, Ray, we talked about this. He would be a hell of a center if Kelsey doesn't come back, which I hope he does come back. But Sam Mallo could be a very good center. You got Driscoll. I know he was dinged up. He can come back. You got Lane Johnson. Brandon Brooks, we have no idea what he's going to do. They probably won't even bring him back, but you do have that thought on the back burner that he's coming back. Please don't get an offensive lineman. Let's go edge rusher. Let's finally get us a linebacker and a hell of a corner. I mean, what do you guys say about that? Am I out reaching or what? I mean, I think our offensive line is good. They had a mock draft picking an offensive guard in the first round, the last pick of the first round. I hope they don't go that way.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, I do think I agree with you. I think that Sayamalu, whenever it is that Kelsey steps aside, I think Sayamalu is going to be the center. I mean, when I saw him playing college, he actually played more center than he played all the positions, but he played more center than he did guard.
Absolutely.
And I actually thought he was better at center. So I think he's going to get the first crack at that job whenever it is that Kelsey decides to retire. And I think Driscoll will be the right guard, and I kind of think that as good as Brooks was, and he was really good, I think that his time here is over.
He's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I've said it before, I would keep the three picks and I would use them all on defense. I would certainly take a linebacker. I'd take at least one edge rusher, and if I could, I might take two.
100% agree with you, right? Or a corner if we could get one.
Or a safety.
But a safety.
I mean, your safety.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're going to move on from all of your safeties, so you're going to need one.
Oh. But, Glenn, I want to tell you and your father, I know that I'm a little early on this one, but may the ghost of Sestak, Dunaway, Day, and McDowell be on that field.
Wow.
Them guys, and blast that damn Kansas City D offense. Shut them down. I want to see them guys, want the ghost of them on that field for you and your father.
I love that. Thank you, Andy. Wow, he's bringing up Buffalo Bills from the 1960s. That was the defensive line, Ray, I grew up on.
I remember all those guys.
Ron McDowell. Oh, yeah. We were crestfallen when he left and went to Washington.
He went to Washington.
Yeah, George Allen. He was one of the old guys.
He was one of the over-the-hill gang. Yeah, and he came and played well for Washington.
Met him one time when I was a little kid. We went out, you know, I'm reading the Buffalo Evening News. I used to deliver it when I was a little kid, right? And I see in the sports pages an advertisement, Ron McDowell appearing at the Sizzler Steakhouse Friday night. It's like, Dad, we got to go. We got to go. It's like, all right, we'll go. So my family went. We ate you remember the Sizzler? I don't know. I don't think it exists anymore,
but I know they had
them here.
Yeah.
And you were like, walk through the line with a tray.
Sure.
And you pick up your little salad, and you pick up a little, you know, dessert, whatever, fruit cup, and then you'd like order. They'd like half a dozen. You can get a burger or a steak or whatever, cheap. Not the greatest meat in the history of America, but there you go. And we go through.
It was not Barkley Prime.
It was not. And then you get to the end of the line, right? And you pay, and there's like, there's Ron McDowell, Dad. There he is. He's huge to me.
He was. Well, he was big.
Yeah, well, he's the defensive lineman. But, I mean, he was probably, like, by the standard, he's probably like 6'4", 265 or something.
That's just about right.
Right? I mean, it's not like guys today, okay? It's not like running into, you know, Fletcher Cox.
Right.
But he was big. And I remember shaking his hand with my little kid hand, and it's like, you know, my hand got swollen. I'd be like, how are you, son? Are you a Bills fan? It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Would you like an autograph? Oh, yeah. You know what? I should ask my dad today. That autograph probably still exists somewhere. And, you know, and he's got old boxes of stuff that he moved when they moved here from Buffalo. It's probably sitting there somewhere.
Remember his nickname?
Ron McDowell?
Yeah.
I don't.
The Dancing Bear.
I don't remember that.
Because he was more nimble than he would appear.
He was,
He looked like kind of a big old grizzly bear, but he could actually move around a little bit.
Number 72. Yep. Dunaway was 78. God, you know how I know you remember all that. Tom Sestak, number 70. Great player.
Yep.
God, it's right. You remember all the numbers from when you were 11 years. I don't remember, like, you know, my wife's cell phone number.
Right.
But I remember Ron McDowell's number from when I was 11 years old.
Yeah, I could sit here and do the whole 1960 Eagles thing.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so weird the way the mind works.
Yeah.
Because that stuff mattered.
Well, it was so important to you back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew all those numbers. I didn't know the combination of my locker in school, but I could tell you the number of every backup offensive lineman on the Eagles.
Indeed. Craig and Ambler is with us. Hey, Craig. Craig, you there?
Hello.
Hi there. What's on your mind?
Hi. How you doing, Ray?
I'm fine, Craig. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if you remember me a couple years back with Bernie the Cop. You autographed the first encyclopedia.
Oh, okay.
The Monday night game.
Uh-huh. Very good. Nice to hear from you.
Like, thanks. I listen to you guys every Sunday.
Well, thank you.
My question to you, Ray. Yesterday, Tennessee, they run the ball down the first half. 60 yards, they're inside the 15 or whatever, and they throw a pass, interception. I mean, what are these coaches thinking that they're going to trick the defense? Or
yes,
it makes me crazy.
I know. That was a big momentum shift because they really had gotten control of the line of scrimmage. Henry had ripped off a couple of big runs. They brought the other back in off the bench. He ripped off a big run, and yeah, I mean they're in the red zone and they're poised to go in, and they call a smoke screen and it gets intercepted, and that was a big momentum flipper. The other thing about that happened in that game, it's not just Tennessee and it's not just their coaches. It happens across the league, and it drives me crazy. Is it's third down or fourth down, and you've got 6 inches to go for the first down, and you put the quarterback in a shotgun. I'm saying, are you nuts? You're 6 inches away. You're 6 inches away from getting the first down, but you're going to put the quarterback 8 yards deep and snap on the ball, and that's where you're going to start the play. Makes no sense to me. And the Titans did that in that situation. They completed a pass. The receiver got tackled just short of the sticks. I mean, it was less than a foot for the first down. And they come out on the next play, and they have Tannehill lined up in the shotgun. And they try to run some kind of a stupid RPO. The play broke down. They lose yardage. And now it's fourth and a yard and a half. And they run a slow developing handoff to Henry, and they get stopped and turn the ball over, and it winds up turning the game around. I mean, I never understand, and it's not just them. Teams around the league, it's incredible the percentage of times when they have either third or fourth and inches for a first down, and they choose to play it out of the shotgun. I'll never understand that.
215-592-9494. Coming up, we're going to talk to Mike Sielski. One of the fun things about Mike is a terrific columnist for the Inquirer. He can talk about all of the teams, and so we will.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a new book coming out, which we'll discuss with him as well. And we'll be seeing Mike later in the week for a big event that we got coming on. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.